Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by birthday boy Brian Brushwood.
That's my, and by the way, that's a legal name, and it's legal all year long, whether it's my birthday or not. I just insist everyone call me birthday boy Brian Brushwood. Two B's weren't enough. I'm going for four B's.
And not as birthday, but what, you got like a March birthday, right, Justin?
I do, yeah. Right around the corner.
Justin Robert Young.
I don't want to take away from Brian's birthday, though. Like, so if anybody's planning my birthday today, don't think about my birthday. Think about Brian's birthday.
And then go to my Amazon wish list page and figure out what you need to get for mine in May, May 25th.
Thanks, Andrew fan.
Gentlemen, let's stop this nonsense right now because we got some real, real, real science to approach here, okay? Now, First off, congrats to SpaceX. They managed to do a West Coast launch of return to flight with a rocket, no explosions, and it landed. This is the first time on the West Coast they've been able to land the rocket on a barge.
Yeah, that's right. And and people are like, I've seen that. I went to the county fair once. I seen them land a rocket on a barge.
Right next to the Monkey Rodeo.
No, but this is the first time to do it on the Pacific Coast. Have they made even any attempts on the Pacific Coast before? Or because there was like two or three failed attempts, but I think those were all.
I think those
East
are
Coast.
All off either the East Coast. Yeah. I think those are all out of Florida, right?
Yeah, I think that they've had the ones they haven't landed like on the West Coast have been where they have to go like some of the military stuff where they're going like so like geostationary and there's just no fuel left.
What I want to know is the track records of like who's winning between the drone barges, because there's P.S. I Love You is one of them, and then the Please Read the Instructions is the other.
Yeah,
I want to anthropomorphize those two and have like them tweet facing off each other about like, you know, 4-0 jerker. Forgot we were family-friendly program
check
for
swing,
a second.
Check swing. He didn't go around on jerker.
Pretty awesome when you look at that rocket and you go like, what's different? Oh, landing fins, landing legs.
Congratulations, man. I couldn't be happier. And wow. The fact that we live in a society where they live streamed it and you could just watch that all real time and
watch the landing from the rocket.
From the rocket's POV, right? Rocket comes down and I only caught the replay of it, but it is electric, and especially for a company that you know, stakes are pretty high in rocketry. I don't know if you know this, gentlemen.
No.
Sometimes.
A little bit. It's not like they have gigantic mega corporations preying on their downfall every day, praying that something else blows up so they can protect their billion-dollar contracts.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, is like they really are breaking the game. And my tweet this morning, is it humble bragging when you're announced that you're 1 year closer to death? I said I realized I hadn't thought about this at all, but I had to go back and look, and I realized that at the age of 42, never, not one moment in my anyone in this room's lifetime, has a human being walked on a moon or another planet.
Yeah, and that's, you know, as you said, you know, the passing of Eugene Cernan, you know, is an inflection point. But here you have the last man to set foot on the moon just passed away. And, you know, here we are going, what's it like to be on the moon, you know? and to think that within his lifetime, do you think he thought that he would have been the last person to be on the moon?
Well, here's the thing, is at what's the triangle? You can have it fast, cheap, or good. Pick any two. We went to the moon once, and we got there fast, and we got there good. It was so not cheap, that, like, there's legitimately not one good reason to go to the moon that justifies the expense that we spent back in the day. At this point, geopolitically, right? But once we get out of the gravity well on the cheap, once SpaceX breaks the rules, now all of a sudden cheap becomes a lock. Cheap becomes just, you can have it fast or good. We don't care.
The frustrating thing is that even to this day, there are NASA officials that talk about why, you know, reusability is not a goal, because they're like, well, there's not that much demand. They're like, well, there's just not that much demand for putting things in space, so why would we go for reusability? And this, they're NASA people. There are a lot of NASA people super supportive, but when you're dealing with the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, which is charged with helping to foster the commercial development of stuff, saying, nah, it's like the 1960s in IBM or the government saying, there's really not a lot of demand for computers, guys. There, you know, we've looked around and only so many people really need them. And it's just, really?
Brian, I think that you made that point very eloquently. There was somebody else on the internet that was making a similar point. This was January 16th. Astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson wrote on Twitter, 1927, Lindbergh flew from New York to Paris. 45 years later, in 1972, we last walked on the moon. 45 years later, in 2017, to which I first saw this tweet with the quote and addendum, yeah, I thought the Mars rover was kind of garbage too.
and not only that, but also, we I don't know what the word would be. We made space travel affordable. Is where we're headed, right?
Yeah, there's travel and just you know, there's so much opportunity for doing research and experiments and other things that we could be doing up there. But it's frustrating that we have this inertia. We have this inertia of like, do we really need to make it low cost? Is there really an incentive to making space low cost? And that we're still in 2017, there are still people in government and industry like, really? I don't know, $20,000 per pound? I think that's fine. That's the maximum size of the marketplace.
Do you know what I think it is? There are folks. So far, space exploration, space travel, all of that research has been strictly affordable by the domain of very large government entities and those bureaucracies. And it's a cheap pop to just say, oh, bureaucrats, whatever. But I mean, but those institutions, they all have people who have to answer the question of why. But the way SpaceX is playing the game, they are dealing with a fundamentally different set of people. In you know, space race 1950s, 60s, or whatever, it's like, if we do this, it'll be cheaper. We're like, well, why do you want to do that? And it's like, I got to come up with a reason why we want to do it cheaper. So there's no profit motive for it. Whereas SpaceX is living in a world now where the question is like, well, why does this company want to go to the space? And SpaceX's answer can be, I don't know, and I don't care, but I know they're going to pay us if we get them there. Like mm-hmm. it's that miracle of the pencil. When you build something within an institution, a giant government agency, you have to begin with the ending in mind, and you have to explain and justify every piece of the pie. When you don't care what the final product is, and you don't even know what it is, everybody works to do their part so that they can make a buck. And right now, that link in that strange, unfathomable chain is SpaceX figuring out how to get out of the gravity well for pennies on the dollar.
You know, and one of my favorite kind of historical examples is when you take a look at what Andrew Carnegie did with steel. And steel was a thing where we had, you know, we figured out, well, you got machine tool uses. You've got certain uses for this here. We kind of know what the marketplace is. Carnegie cornered the industry on it, and then he lowered the price dramatically, like just dramatically dropped the price of steel. And, you know, why did he do that? Because he said, you know what, the total market for buying steel maybe at this point is $500 million a year at this price. But if I can reduce the price by a factor of 10, the market's going to be maybe in the billions of dollars a year, because then you start using for steel for all these other things you were using lumber and concrete for. It made skyscrapers possible. You know, it made extending rail became so much cheaper to lay rail. It like it extended our, you know, economy in multiple dimensions. The idea you could take a city and now you could build 100-story skyscrapers and have so much more, you know, it's one of the driving forces towards our economy, which was steel and it was oil and these things that were extremely, you know, important. And we overlooked that. But once you drive that price down so small, you expand in another dimension. That happened with computing, happened to steel. And, you know, electricity. And now we look at that. That's what will happen with space. When you drive that cost, all of a sudden you're going to look back in 30 years and be like, yeah, this was stupid that we waited this long. Why didn't we do this sooner?
Well, and the weird part is he did so for, quote unquote, totally selfish motivations, right? Mm-hmm. It's like let's assume he never in a million years would have thought of the use, and nobody on his team would have ever thought of the use of skyscrapers or whatever. It's like, why are you doing this? Why are you making it cheaper? Why are you making them so much of it? And you're like, I don't know, because people are buying it. And then meanwhile, while it's getting cheaper and cheaper, people are looking at it like, well, there are things that are now possible that are not, that were not possible before because this thing is cheap. You know, and you and I know this from Magic, Andrew, is that, when the iPhone appeared, nobody built an iPhone so that you could make really great impromptu magic tricks on your telephone. But the existence of what the iPhone could do, the introduction of the App Store, the ability to play video, suddenly something was cheap, ubiquitous, and an opportunity was there. So a submarket of people, in our case, you know, tricksters, went about trying to figure out ways to amuse and bemuse people by using that device. And you could say demonstrably the world had a new type of art form that was added to it. I mean, just watch any of Marco Tempest's amazing stuff. And, you know, there's no way Steve Jobs had that in mind when he built an iPad. And yet here we are for having it.
My first YouTube video to hit a million views was how to do magic on your iPhone before there was even an app store. It was this, hey, everybody's going to have this in their pocket. Here's a bunch of cool magic you can do with it. And that, you know, went on to like 5 million views. And, you know, I made money from that, you know, and that's like, yeah, I've been a beneficiary of that, of this, all of a sudden this economy makes these things possible. So yeah. You know, another thing we could use it for, guys, is a mystery, solving a mystery.
Oh man. Wait, we can, as soon as we remind everybody that patreon.com/weirdthings is where you can support the show. Patreon.com/weirdthings. We do not do this show unless we get money up front. Just kidding.
Cash.
Or whatever, but we get paid afterward. Anyway, hey, friends, if you want to support the show, get on over to patreon.com/weirdthings.
Am I seeing this right? Are we about to hit a milestone? Let me take a look at the graph.
500, baby.
We're about to hit 500.
Yeah, we are. We are about to cross over 500 an episode. That would be amazing. If you've been on the fence, then don't forget that you get after things immediately afterwards. You get your very own RSS feed, so you get everything on one big giant rock block. And best of all, you get to know that we secretly, although we would never say it in front of our other listeners, you really are our favorite.
Yeah. Also, we won't do it unless we get paid. So,
yeah.
Remember, this is about the time that you want to update your payment information, especially, you know, if you're like not doing it yet. So go ahead. I love you.
Gentlemen, I need I've got a couple cases, and this is not Spiro and the Fudge stuff. This is Dr. Brian, who's your friend? It's Dr. You can tell me in a second. And then it's Professor Justin. Professor, I forget who this is. I need Dr. So-and-so and Professor.
Oh, Dr. Blindman.
Dr. Blindman.
Who, yeah, unfortunately, yeah, is deaf.
No, that is not
but
true.
But he reads
that
lips
is not true.
Very well.
It's not true.
And of course, Professor what?
Professor what?
Yeah, it's a German name.
W-A-T-T.
Like Watt? Like yeah. James Watt?
Yeah.
No, it's actually W-H-A-T .. ?
But Blindman and Watt, yeah, a research LLC, is at your beck and call. Hello, I'm Blindman. This is my associate, Professor Watt.
It's a German name.
I'm so glad you could come step into the offices of NASA. That's right.
Yeah.
you're in my NASA office, and I'm big SpaceX fan here, by the way, just so you know. I'm not one of those NASA, one of those naysay people. I'm like, yeah. NASA can't
I pronounce NASA, not naysay. Oh my God, can we start that meme?
that meme left the station. That was, what's his face? Brilliant engineer, the guy who designed Spaceship One.
Bert Rutan?
Yeah, you're like, those folks over at Naysay.
Oh, that's great. Oh. Independent creation.
So, yeah, welcome to NASA, gentlemen. Have a seat in my comfy chairs.
Careful. Yeah, I'm glad you're not a bunch of nascent naysayers here at NASA, right? Sorry, my partner's deaf. He doesn't hear my jokes sometimes, so if I'm facing away from him, he doesn't laugh because
also
he can't
secretly laugh. Just so everyone knows, Dr. Blindman really can hear, but he's been running a long con for a very long time. So Professor Watt doesn't know, but secretly he can hear.
Hold on, guys. 2 seconds. Apparently, my bank account got hacked, so I got to clear up that real quick. All right, I'm done. What's going on, NASA?
So, gentlemen, are you enjoying your Tang, by the way?
Oh, man.
I love the idea.
Let me pull out my folder here. I got to go through my notes. And, oh, do you hear that sound of Velcro as I open up my Trapper Keeper? Jesus. You know what's special about Velcro, don't you?
Well, sure. It's lucrative.
Yes,
I go ahead and text Blindman. Jesus, they always have to do the bit, don't they?
Yeah. All right, let me use my pen. Oh, I'm going to lean back and write upside down.
All right. I'll tell you what. You're acting like a real jerker.
Listen,
jerker, like the one drone boat said to the other drone boat.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we are very, very important. He's deaf. I have a weird name. Like, we're in demand. We need to figure out what this is.
Yeah, well, time is important, and that's why I can sit here and never have to get up to go use the restroom. Do you know why?
Oh, my God. All right.
So I have an oxytocin addiction, and I'm I'm constipated, but that's not important. Anyhow, nothing to do with our adult diapers we develop for the space industry, sadly enough.
Sure. Pardon me. Why are we here?
The reason you're here is I've got a mystery for you to solve. All right, I can't take this to the rest of NASA because these guys are just their heads will explode. They'll complain. Next thing you know, it'll leak everywhere, and we got a problem.
And not like your diaper.
Yeah, I know. Poor choice of words to follow after saying the words "adult diaper." I admit that. Okay.
If you don't mind, Professor Watt, he's got a lecture he's about to give. What was that lecture on again?
What was that?
Well, it's Watt's lecture on who, what, when, where, and how.
Not why? No why?
Too expensive.
Anyway, we've got a very busy schedule.
All right, I'm going to play you some video. First, I'm going to reach out and touch my touch screen.
Oh, Jesus Christ, sir. Get to the effing point.
What? Why are you so angry?
Sorry, man. That's my typical German temper flaring up, old Professor Watt.
Gentlemen, we just got this footage in from a telescope and, not one of ours. It's like, probably a science museum somewhere. And frankly, we're baffled, and the internet's on fire, and the UFO conspiracists, those hard-hitting critical thinkers that they are, have thrown down the gauntlet and challenged us on this, and if this goes public and we don't have an explanation for it, it could be the end of NASA, the end of space, and no more Tang for anybody.
Well, dang, that's tough. My expertise...
Let's take a look. We're going to crack this one wide open.
Just watching the moon.
All right, so what we're seeing...
Looks like a barbecue of some sort.
It does. It looks like they're barbecuing the moon.
Yeah, barbecuing the moon.
There's heat shimmer as it looks like, to be honest, this looks...
What the hell is that thing down there in that crater?
Wait, what do you mean?
Probably a little dot. Oh my God!
Go back, go back, go back. Do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
I turned to my associate, Professor Watt, and I say, do you recall the curious case of the cell phone ghost illusion being?
All right. No, I do. Can we go back to the video?
Describe what you're seeing.
All right, so there's a heat shimmer on the moon. All of a sudden, coming from the right top right corner and heading down to maybe the middle of the frame is what appears to be a black circle moving at a tremendous rate of speed. I've already solved this one, but I'm curious to see your thoughts on the matter, Dr. Blindman. What does the blindman see? I see while looking at the camera directly and winking.
Well, first of all, this looks an awful lot. I don't know how to describe it. The heat shimmer you get when it's close enough. Yeah, looks like a 10-inch Dobsonian telescope. By the way, they're so much fun. Just waste some money and get a giant telescope. But it basically looks like a satellite passing by.
Incorrect again, blind men.
I mean,
by the clear sign of what it looks like, it's very, very clear that this perfectly circular object is indeed a frisbee. In fact, I believe we have finally found the elusive game of ultimate frisbee. Frisbee game so intense, it ended up on the moon.
But they maintain the culture of ultimate frisbee. So even though you're not allowed to throw it to the moon, they called their own foul on it. There's still no referees even on the moon.
All right.
So we have Brian says he believes that it's a satellite,
which you would expect. Yeah. For all the times of all the people recording looking at the moon, sooner or later, you're going to have a satellite happen to pass right across during that time, right?
What size do you think that satellite would be in that image, though?
Oh, that's a good point. It is far too big. Okay, so the moon is, as you hold your fist up to the sky, right? The moon is the size of your thumbnail, right?
Well, I mean, technically, if the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Professor Watt, which department do you work in again?
I work in the department of none your business.
None your. All right. That is a good point, because I'm going to bet that even the International Space Station, which I believe is the single biggest object satellite in the sky, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess it could just be a passing asteroid, but that seems like it's pretty rare for an asteroid to pass between the Earth and the Moon. Like usually we would get the panicked tweets from either Neil deGrasse Tyson or our friend Dr. Phil Plait saying, guys, that was a real close one. But since I didn't see either of those.
Well, it seems like it's a case closed.
I
never bothered to find out the answer, but I looked at this and I had my own hypothesis and was happy with that and then carried on, says the
What's
NASA
that?
Guy.
Sure, let's let the amateur hour start. I hope you brought two friends.
Guys, I'm so glad you gave us these theories, because we were going to run with the idea that maybe it was just a water droplet going across of the piece of plastic in front of the telescope.
No way. Was it?
Dumb. I'm glad that we got our official scientific version in there.
You're not going to find a lot of intelligent answers in the comment section on that video.
Of YouTube. Wait, but hold on, naysay. Sometimes they have great advice on how your hair looks,
how to pleasure yourself.
Yeah. Whether or not you, how authentic or heterosexual you are.
Of course, a very accurate gauge on how hard you are or should be trying.
And also whether or not they're wincing while they're watching, and at what time code they're wincing so hard.
Excuse me, my colleague, Professor Bacchadile in the chat says it's not very drop-shaped, I'd go with aliens. And I have to agree upon his second opinion that looks more like an alien head than it does a drop.
Isn't that the funny part? It's like, no matter, whenever there's a mystery, like any mystery at all, aliens is the raddest of all the answers to literally any mystery, right? And it's so tempting to just want to jump like not much like a droplet. So, but let's go aliens. Let's just go aliens.
Yeah, it's one of the things, like one of my favorite things we ever talked about is we showed on one of the photos of Mars, one of the rocks with that cross shape indentation.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at the rock and that wasn't anything. It was like, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty baffling. But then once we heard, like, well, yeah, right before they had an instrument that went up close to it and pressed it up against the rock, and you're like, oh, we made it. And it's like, oh, context is everything. So I haven't found the explanation for that, but I mean, it's, if you look at some of these telescopes, they're actually like the one of these ones that permanently observe or whatever, are fixed at some of these science centers, have like plexiglass shields, or if it's looking into a mirror, you can actually have an object that can be on that mirror can be absolutely look like it's in focus in the same focal plane as the object you're looking at. Anything in between the lens and the moon, whatever, would be, you know, really hazy or whatever, hard to get a focus on, depending on the size. So that's my theory, but what do I know? It's why I brought you guys. So we're going to issue a press release right now. Giant asteroid between the Earth and the moon. So
see, that, I guess the problem, of course, is that the whole reason that we see UFOs everywhere is because it's so very, very difficult to get a perspective of size and speed from the vantage point of the ground. That's why you look up and our monkey brains were evolved to know how to run at about 20 miles an hour across, you know, plains. So when we look up and see geese flying at an indeterminate height above us, illuminated from the city lights below, we just assume, well, it's the fastest thing that in the world. And it's streaking across the sky because I'd imagine it's a million miles up and rocketing across the world.
Yeah. Listen, while you guys are here, I'm going to, maybe we're going to call that a bit of a bust.
What?
Like boobs?
You're still going to write us a check though, right?
I've got one more mystery for you.
All right, fine.
All right. I didn't know. Let's play two, I guess.
So, some of our friends, some researchers here, they've had a problem with some theft of some materials and some stuff, some computers and stuff. And it's really way outside of NASA's expertise. Now, I thought that, you know, granted, me asking you guys to look at the moon thing maybe was not fair to you. But I've heard you guys know something about science and ghosts and that kind of stuff. And yeah. Well, we're kind of scared because here at NASA, we know nothing about ghosts. We don't know anything about that. We'll tell you, like, aliens aren't real. You know, the ones we have in our freezer downstairs, totally not real. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't go to Arcturus. That's all we have to say. But anyhow, my point is,
all these worlds are yours except Arcturus. Attempt no landings there.
No, don't.
Hey, all right. I read the Bible too. We don't need to start.
got some other video I need to play for you guys here because I need your help solving this. And I need to know, do we need to hire an exorcist, or do we go like find that Ghostbusters sort of ghost capture thing? You know, one or the other, or like do we get like a priest that, or like some crazy old gypsy woman or whatever who just like, you know, says frightening things and then we refuse to pay her?
Well, let's take a look at the video. All right. Also, turn the sound way up. Because I'm deaf. Wait for it.
Well, it appears as if two apparitions are...
I think these are ghosts, you guys.
Ghosts, they're stealing things.
Oh, my
they're
God.
Like,
look, what...
Stealing computer printers.
Mischievous spirits stealing a copier.
It looks like a clip out of Star Wars, where... we're just looking at two. Dude, we're looking at Tenacious D wearing sheets over their heads, stealing copiers in security footage. That's Jack
how you
Black
look at
and
it.
Kyle
I
Gass.
See fairly clear evidence that this is a rift in the our very fabric, and the dimension between the next world and ours has finally opened a portal in which ghosts steal copiers because they need them on the other side.
I'm trying to figure out. That's definitely Kyle Gass. But that's Jack Black because he's wearing the flip-flops.
Well, they and definitely, as science has speculated, you are haunting in the last outfit you had, and he was obviously trying to go see the string cheese incident.
Is there any other evidence, or have we pretty much nailed it? Shall I send the police over to the Black Estate and have Mr.
What?
As if they will?
Oh, Jack Black.
Wait, whoa.
A day after MLK Day.
Oh, wait, no, you're killing me.
Jeez. Oh, Dr. Blindman.
I said no. Jack Black is guilty of this crime.
No, don't try to white-splain that one to Brian.
Okay. I know. All right, Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
See, if we're yelling at you, nobody can yell at us. I'm yelling at him right now. Don't look at me.
All right, so we're going to go arrest Jack Black and Kyle Gass.
Yeah. Should have been done a long time ago. You've done a service. Oh boy, gosh, that was it's a pretty action-packed episode. I don't know how we could top that.
I mean, there certainly aren't any ongoing narrative arcs that,
especially one that we took a break from last week
that ended on a giant
listeners.
Giant.
Oh, wait, what? Are you saying that we should have our first journey quest of the year?
Oh!
Journey quest!
A journey quest theme song. Like, just a little jingle that brings people into... If you're listening to this and you want to do a little journey quest jingle, then go ahead. Where can people send it, Bryce?
Send it to neshcom@gmail. neshcom@gmail.com.
Oh, damn. All right, go.
What we need for Journey Quest, like, I used to always skip through, like, previously on, you know, because I'm like, I already watched the show. And then like, I realized, like, with Game of Thrones, like, no, dummy, they're telling you what you need to remember for this episode. So you're not like, who is that again? So we need a previously on Journey Quest.
You guys got thrown into a room after you guys were pitted to the death, Brian versus Justin.
Yep.
Where was this at, Brian?
This was in Diamond Town.
In Diamond Town, that's
which
right.
Which I ruled.
Who's the master of Diamond Town?
I was in my incredibly
resplendent
costume.
Yo, man, you did. For the record, you do look epic in the post-apocalyptic future.
People don't say epic anymore. And
especially not in Diamond Town.
Damn.
Where did I mention
old
I am the ruler?
And a racist.
And so they were put into a prison cell, and there was this mysterious person in the cell, and they walked up to him, and they were about to start a conversation.
Yeah. I go up to the person and first I lean over and I say, by the way, I'm not really deaf, Justin.
That's a different bit. These are different universes.
No, but see, in my mind, in this universe, we were also doing weird things. Where
to which I lean over to Brian and just say, what?
Dad jokes. I kind of poke the foot of this person in the cell that we're with.
All right, let's you guys have fallen backwards. You're forgetting the whole thing that then happened about finding out about Diamond City. And then breaking out, and then you go into another room. You're about to make your escape, and there are all these records. And I know it's very traumatic, and it's been a while. It's been forever.
Yes.
You break into Master Bryce's private collection of music. There's a whole DJ booth room.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And now we were conspiring with a Diamond City spy, right, to get him out, and we were going to try and get to Diamond City.
Yeah. So now here you are, and he's explaining to you that, like, yeah, there's like a big war going on between us and Diamond City, and Diamond City, we need some help. And then all of a sudden you hear the sound, big, huge door opening, and, like, again, there's, like, some really cool house music playing, too. So it's really hard to talk in there, by the way. You know, you've got to talk over the beats, you know?
Sure.
And then the door opens up. It's a big door.
Very slow door.
I use my possibly Nazi-enhanced super hearing to evaluate how long it's going to creak.
You see a shadow. You see this massive shadow in the doorway, and you're like, man, if Gene Simmons and Lady Gaga had a child and they're allowed to dress themselves, this is what that would look like.
Man, I don't know what I'm looking at, but it looks very imposing. I search around for a stick. Do I find a stick?
We need to describe the outfit. I'm going to start off with, like, massive shoulder pads with what are, like, look like unicorn horns on either one, okay? Unicorn horn shoulder pads, okay?
Right.
Big, thick black and silver metal armor. Boots, like, we talk about those Kiss boots that they wore that made them tall. These make those look like flats, okay? Massive, tall, okay? Is there a cod piece? And if there is, I want a description.
Oh, there's definitely a cod piece. This one is ringed with neon lights that flash all sorts of different patterns. It's overlaid. Like, there's just a stack of neon that flashes different things.
And like what's weird is bedazzled in a band around the top, because there's a bunch of arrows pointing to the crotch of the codpiece, and it says, "The cause of and solution to all Diamond Town's problems."
Exactly. And meanwhile, one of the things that flashes in neon on his crotch is just, "Eat my Johns."
Okay.
Excuse me, good sir. That is an impressive codpiece you have.
Yeah.
And the voice, this booming voice, is like, "Well, thank you, gentlemen. I've actually got several of these, and you know, it's like electronically modified and all that."
It sounds a bit like Kylo Ren.
Like Kylo, yeah. I ask, "Hey, are you Kylo Ren?"
It's like, takes off the mask. Like, "No, guys, it's me. It's Bryce. It's Bryce."
Oh,
Bryce. Hey, I wasn't there, but I heard that you're like a cannibal nowadays or something, or you're terrible in a, did you go crazy in a,
how did you? Brian right in the face. That's really the first thing you lead with? First thing you lead with isn't, "Hey, you run a post-apocalyptic town based around our community.
I think we
actually be friends." Okay. You immediately want to go to, "We heard you were a mass murderer, you dumb half-Nazi jerker."
Jerker. I hold a finger up as if to say valid point, and I look back, and after composing myself, say, "I know I'm way behind on paying you. There's a lot we gotta get caught up on. Also, are you still publishing Scam School episodes? Because we had some banked for a while."
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Also, nice house. This whole place. Yeah. This setup.
Oh, man, this is a great place. How are you alive?
And also, what is this? What is happening?
Also, did you not notice that we were there down there and you ordered us to kill each other?
Yeah, are you? Also, my first question again, are you crazy now? What's going on?
Also, I want to reiterate that Brian is way behind on paying you. So if one person's going to die.
But So I'm the special assistant here. Not I look may look like Andrew Maine, but you know, this kind of look is normal.
Oh yeah.
So I'm like, hey, your fantasticness, can I talk to you for a moment?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right, thank you. Thank you. So listen, I've looked over our plans and I know that we want to go to war with Diamond City, those jerks.
Those big dumb jerks, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think we could use some really crack thinkers, some people who are just got these guys who can survive and make this. And you know them from Force, so I'm sure you'd vouch for them. And I know you tried to pit them against each other, like fight to the death.
Yeah, and they kind of ho-hummed that.
Hey, I'm overhearing some of this with
your special Nazi hearing.
We need a euphemism because I know,
Socialist hearing.
Oh, first of all, nothing's been proved.
Socialist hearing.
National Socialist hearing powers, and I say, hey, I hate DJs.
Oh,
I couldn't help but hear you talk about how they're all like bunch of dumb jerks,
and I'm like, hey, Mr. Fantastico, no. don't kill him just yet.
I know,
and by rights you are. I mean, when you murdered my entire family because I complained about the way these samples were cut together and the music you're playing, and I didn't know that you were actually running this place.
Yeah, it's an arrhythmic choice to make the samples like that.
Yeah, you forgave me, which I'm appreciative of. Anyhow, my point is, I'm not telling you not to murder them, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't murder them right now, the advantage is, because, you know, we got to go to war with Diamond City and we need to recruit people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Okay.
So I'm thinking, like, because in the battle plans we've had so far, I think your selection for the mixtape that we're going to play when we go into battle is fantastic. I think it's amazing. The color schemes you've chosen for our craft and all that and the uniforms. Oh, I am proud to go on that, but I think we need an actual tactical plan.
And so
I don't mean
course,
the choreography. The choreography you had planned is great.
All right, so I use my super ventriloquism powers to make it sound as though Andrew also says, also, I hear that they're strong and gifted warriors who will serve you very well.
I don't know why I said those things, but I agree with them.
I mean, when I think of tacticians, I definitely think of comedy podcasters. So
we're all doing new roles here, okay? Sure. We all have to play new things in this new world in order to survive.
In this new world order that is emerging.
Also, I add narratively, there certainly has been a lot that's gone on in the post-apocalypse if Bryce is voluntarily giving Brian and I more responsibility because it completely goes against our entire relationship thus far, which has been us offloading things constantly to Bryce.
All right, well, then to my special assistant, I say, make use of them and we will not kill them yet, but it is also your head on the line.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's war.
So. We talked about that. I gave you some management books to read.
You're right. I'm sorry. I know we're trying to communicate a little bit better. Try to.
Oh, damn. What? You tacked me down like a real
pussy.
Tried
to set me on fire
didn't.
With those management books.
Oh, geez. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. He's your special assistant. Tell him, hey, listen, you son of a bee. I'll kick you right in the teeth if you give me that kind of insolence.
Hey, are you telling
And remember how you complained about how when people become successful or famous or powerful, how they change? And you never
all right, I walk over and I grab the special assistant and I say, hey, Justin, I don't think this guy loves Bryce enough. You want to show him what real love looks like? And I nod as if to say, punch him in the stomach.
Yeah, and I give him a good old punch in the tummy, and I say, yeah, that's for the love of Bryce.
We throw him down, and we say, you got something you need done?
Kill them.
He's like, this is your choice, special assistant. They're your pets.
Not anymore. We work for you, boss.
I kick him right in the butt, and I say, silence, dog. You must be humbled before Grand Wizard Bryce. Are they still around? If not, we should
Grand
take the
Wizard,
next
no!
hey, man, don't talk to the Grandmaster Splash like that. He's the jazziest ruler in Diamond World. Because you can't have no Diamond Town without a Diamond World. Am I right?
And I'm like, you can't do that until you conquer Diamond City. And I kick you right in the eye and murders me. And,
and then I say, hey, I just had an idea.
Yeah.
We should take over Diamond City.
Huh.
I'll say, that was definitely a thought I just had.
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you what. How about this? How about this? Bryce, why don't you entrust Brian and I?
Mike, you hear me gurgle. You've got to say the superlative before Brian.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
I reward
your helpful advice with a quick and merciless death. merciful death.
Yeah. Hey, your eminence. Mm-hmm. How about this?
Warren.
You shut up.
I wave my hand at the wispy spirit of the ghost of the special assistant who's still criticizing us as we try to talk to badass Bronson.
Yeah. Bad man, bruiser, buddy Bryce. I would like to.
My body makes a gasping sound that sounds a lot like meh.
All right. Look. Quintuple B, come on. Will you talk to us?
All right. How about this? Mm-hmm. You dispatched Brian and I to Diamond City because right now there's a spy in the other room that's already confided to us that he's a spy. We pretend to be people that are going to turn over information because now we know what your identity is. While we really gather information for you, we escape from Diamond City, give you the scoop on everything that's there. We run all up into that bee, conquer it, maybe like 15 minutes, man. This is easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Also, I don't know if you've heard, but I have it on very good intel that there's an entire codpiece district in Diamond City. We'll pick up a few extras.
All right.
So Bryce is like, this is a great idea, and just so you guys know how wisely you chose, rips off his face, and it's the spy.
Oh.
Oh.
And then he rips off his spy face, and it's Bryce.
I knew it. The old triple dipple.
That was hot. Double latex, guys. That was a real hot mask to wear that entire bit.
You do. You look fresh. You look refreshed now.
Oh, my God, yeah. No, you kind of had that weird, empty-eyed Grand Moff Tarkin look before. Now you look so vibrant.
You didn't notice I wasn't blinking. It doesn't blink. The mask can't blink through another mask.
Yeah. What do you say, boss? You want us to go to work for the double cross?
Well, yeah, I think it would be great if you could get inside and destroy it from the inside, more than just intel, but go in and very stealthily.
All right. Also, if I see any USB flash drives that I strongly suspect have dubstep samples, I'll pick them up for you.
I'm not interested in weird flash drives that are on the ground in the post-apocalypse, but okay.
Silence, idiot, with your flash drive nonsense.
I look over my shoulder to the ghost of the special assistant.
I have some Ampex tape of some 1960s jazz live sessions.
Okay.
I deliver a Hulk Hogan leg drop on the corpse of the special assistant.
All right. You have your mission.
Yeah. And so what you're going to do is you let them into your warehouse, your collection of vehicles of like just about any kind of thing you can imagine there. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Brian, like what?
Oh, my gosh. Is that the bicycle from Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
A bicycle?
Yeah, it is a bicycle for Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Also, realizing that this is our last chance for proper exposition, I ask, we all hate Diamond City, but why do we hate them again?
Oh, they know what they did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Am I right? I high-five Bryce.
Yeah.
Man, I hate fools out here not knowing the Diamond City sealed their own death warrant. Man, I'll tell you, when was the first time that you realized that Diamond City had signed their own death warrant, Grand
Grandmaster Flash.
I shot. You already used that one as I hop on Pee-wee's bike and start riding it in circles, revving up to top speed, trying to aim for you so I could show that I like Bryce more.
All right. So Bryce is like, hey, here's what I need you all to do is I want you to choose a vehicle. It's going to be a war machine. You need to put pick a vehicle. I've got guns and missiles and stuff like that. I want you to plan out what your war machine is going to be right now.
Well, I think we should take this big rig.
Oh yeah, my vintage big rig.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a vintage big rig, circa convoy.
I say
DJ and the Bear.
I say yes, and I nod over towards this amazing 2012 red Jeep. Wrangler,
red Jeep midlife crisis Wrangler,
and then I mouth the words, "It's a manual, manual transmission," and then I'm already loading Pee Wee's bike in the back of it as well.
All right, so I look to you, you look to me, we both start smiling, we both start laughing. You can almost hear in the background, there's like some A-team music as if we're about to go to commercial. I chloroform Brian and he wakes up while we're in the big rig driving the diamond.
EBA Baracus,
so you're driving away Baracus to City. You're driving away.
I ain't driving in no big rig. You ain't never gonna get me in a big rig.
And Brian is complaining because he's there, and he's like, "What are these fancy choke collars we have on us?" And Justin's like, "Oh, they were a parting gift from Bryce. He like gave us these really cool necklaces to wear.
Yeah,
they never come off, and may have explosive charges inside of there if we try to double cross them."
All right, I turn on the radio, hoping that. Much like Fallout, there's exposition
the
on there.
Welcome to Nescom 101. Ready for some awesome beats.
All right, I go to another channel.
Welcome to Nescom 102. Why aren't you listening to Nescom 101?
I try to change the channel.
Hi, it's Tom Merritt today with the Daily Tech News Show.
Oh my gosh!
Tom's alive!
Tom's alive! I listened for
episode,
details.
We're going to talk about the release of the Apple iPhone 6. What does this mean for the industry? Has Apple stopped innovating?
It's a rerun! Okay, I listen for clues. Is the signal getting stronger as we get closer?
Fading.
Oh, Justin,
it's nighttime now. You see a glow. There's a horizon. You see this ridge, and there's lights coming on from over there. You may see like a neon sign that says Diamond City this way.
Justin, I think should follow
that
sign.
Here's the deal. All right, we're going to need cover stories when we go into Diamond City, okay?
Okay.
So here's what it is. We're salvage traders. My name is Siegfried, and your name is Penis Brett.
Why can't we be Brian and Justin, though?
Listen, you want to get caught again? Oh, I'm sure you'd love to get caught so you could get some more. Oh, you want some Mussolini powers this time? I'm sure you just love getting caught and getting operated on by strangers. Listen here, Siegfried, Penis Brett. We're salvage traders in the post-apocalypse. We're going to go in and do Lord Bryce's bidding.
All right, well... Yes, and you. But we have to, you can privately think of my cover name whenever you want, but you better call me Peanut Butter, like the dog from BoJack Horseman.
Gotcha. All right, Siegfried of Peanut Butter.
That's right.
Roll it through.
But let's. I look around for bicycles.
You get closer. You're up over the hill. It's bright lights, blinding lights. It's very, very bright. And then you finally, your eyes adjust, and you look out in front of you, and you see next time on Journey Quest.
We got a big old convoy driving through the night.
We got content ID problems all night. Hey, talking about content ID, can we jump right into picks? Who else has the pick of the young pope?
Me.
Dude, yeah.
I ain't seen how young this pope is.
He's almost 50. basically, it's like all the Vatican is sad because like they're like, man, we're gonna have this Pope a long ass time, like because he's not about to die.
That is literally a line in the first episode.
yeah, it really is.
All right, so what? So the deal is, so it's Jude Law as a Pope, right?
Yep.
But he's an asshole.
Yeah.
The idea is that he's like the youngest, one of the youngest.
Hey, language
ever.
Watch, by the way. There, I'm telling you.
And he's like the first American
I wave
Pope.
I wave at the special assistant to Bryce again. Curious how he made it here.
No, he's like he's a real young guy. He's kind of brash. He's a little non-traditional. He's an American Pope, and he really loves that cherry Coke Zero.
That was I couldn't really decide wild. If I loved like? The specificity and the garishness of that product integration or if I hate it.
It's
like,
a weird one.
Like there's I mean the moment he the awkward pause followed by. Perhaps in the meantime, His Eminence would accept a regular Diet Coke. And he's like, nope,
no.
Get bent on the Pope. And I have said a very specific
cherry
brand of
Coke
soft
Zero.
Drink. And I'm going to sit here and wait.
but there's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of political thriller elements
to Frank,
it.
Frank Underwood is the Pope. And it is smash cut. Like none of the buildup, none of the backstory. Just boom. Frank Underwood is the Pope, and you instantly get what's up. It's beautiful. It's crazy. It's got lots of intrigue. You don't really know what he believes or thinks or what his agendas are, but I could smell badass from a mile away, and he's covered in it.
And I'll tell you what, the first episode has a pretty nice sort of twist ending, I think.
Yeah, but it's also like a twist. Like, is it a twist?
Is it a twist?
I don't know.
Anyway, no. Just that's how I'm gonna put it. That's it. Check it out. It's on HBO.
So I was gonna watch it, and then I saw a. Well, I gotta pull this up because it was one of these things where I'm like, oh, this sounds like maybe kind of curious.
Wait, one real quick thing as well. One note that I thought was brilliant on the costuming. Is he wears a Pope costume, right? But also very quickly, the whole conceit is that he's not your traditional Pope. But all of the cross, did you notice that all of the crosses people wear, like his cross is specifically designed to be just ever so elongated in the right way. When you side eye that and the way the chain lays down, looks like it might be an upside down cross.
Really?
That's interesting.
Oh, did you not notice that? Like, take a look at some of those pictures on there. Like, especially when you see him, like even in that poster shot there, especially when you see him in the same room as the other cardinals or whatever. Like, yeah, I don't know. So there's that.
That's interesting.
I'm excited that you liked it because some of the reviews were mixed on it. I think everybody recognizes that it's a very audacious show. But some found some of the crazy elements of it a little too distracting with not a lot behind it. But I'm pumped you like it.
I was going to watch it, and then I saw this is the same trying to say before as I saw this review. If you like Suicide Squad, you'll love The Young Pope.
Oh, jeez.
No.
That was from IO9, folks.
I don't know. It's also electrified in that it has the strange potential to offend – oh, I don't know, 17% of the planet at any one moment. Like the very, it's an electric tale. Like I felt weird even asking Padre SJ in a public forum what he thought of it because he's in and of that world and probably had to give a very politically measured answer. Like, which makes it a real place. I guess it's like a mob movie, only I understand this world and I feel closer to it than mobsters because I've never met a mobster, but I know lots of priests.
Sure, you've never met a mobster, Brian?
Yeah, I mean,
Andrew?
I'm not a mobster.
No.
My pick is, you know, I buy a lot of movies on iTunes and then periodically I'll go back and revisit them and see, you know, go back and go, you know, play through like a, you know, series or stuff and say, oh, I really love this. And I went back and first I watched Riddick, because I hadn't seen Riddick in a while. You know, the sequel to Pitch Black. And then I watched The Chronicles of Riddick. And those are fun movies. I think that they're, you know, the plotting sometimes goes in some different directions. But then I said, you know what, let me go watch Pitch Black. So I watched Pitch Black last night and found myself totally engrossed in it and just love Pitch Black is one of my I think it's just such a great, solid movie. I think it's pretty underrated for how good it is. And so my pick is if you get a chance to go back and watch Pitch Black, check it out.
As Pitch somebody Black, who,
after or before?
Oh, no. It's the one that started the whole thing. It was a cheap little indie movie, and it was amazing and awesome and very simple. Very simple.
It's simple, but the characters are all well done. Everybody's kind of an anti-hero in their own thing, and you watch this and you realize that it's as much the story about Rhoda Mitchell's character, you know, she's the surviving sort of part of the flight crew. You know, everybody has their own little trajectory in there. And I thought it's like a good Western, really like a good Western where it's not just, you know, Riddick is sort of not the main focus of the story. He's part of the story and it becomes his story, but everybody else has sort of a, you know, I think an important part in it. So
should I bother to see when, you know, I loved Pitch Black and then Chronicles of Riddick came out and it came out to very mixed leaning towards reviews. So I never saw it, never went back and revisited the world.
No, see it because like here's, I would say the flaws of Chronicles of Riddick is it tries to be very, very ambitious. They took what was this one small scale story of these survive like a Western on this remote planet where there's only like eight characters to literally a far flung galactic empire sweeping across the galaxy, you know, taking over entire planets and stuff. And so they went as big as you possibly could. And it's parts of it are really good. Parts of it are like, this could be different, you know, but I love it for its ambition.
Awesome.
And this was, I'm just kind of putting two and two together now about when Chronicles of Riddick came out, but that was right around the time that the Matrix sequels were coming out. And I feel like that was like not the same problem, but certainly one of those examples of like, all right, big budget, super engrossing world building sci-fi is in. So what do we got? Chronicles of Pitch Black. That was great. Vin Diesel's now a star because of Fast and the Furious. You get Chronicles of Riddick. Make it as big as you want. And then, you know, that happened, which, you know, ambitious, sure. But I don't know. I remember I've only seen it once in the theaters and I remember it being very, very good at inventing reasons for people to yell Riddick as loud as they can.
That's the way Alien 3 was with the F word. Like, they managed to discover seven more syllables in the F word in that movie. If you go back and watch.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep it on the Diesel train. Sequel coming out, I think it's this week, to XXX. One of my favorite movie experiences of all time was seeing the original XXX in theaters. I'm sure this movie's not going to be good, but I'm very excited to see it, just as I was very excited to see XXX. You know, there is, I think we are in an appropriate era of Diesel appreciation. I don't know if there is any franchise where Diesel is more like
Vin Diesel, more Diesel than Diesel.
Than XXX. I mean, I think
it's like Schwarzenegger and Commando.
Yes, exactly. It's not his best work. I don't know if it's going to be good, but I love the XXX franchise. I love the Ice Cube version. Back before, hey, remember when Vin Diesel didn't want to do sequels to his movies? I'm excited to see it.
So, gentlemen, I have a plug.
Go.
And I don't want to be too aggressive about this plug here.
That looks like a galley copy.
I have in my hands here the large poster of the cover for Orbital, the sequel to Station Breaker, which is available right now. It's in pre-order, but tomorrow, by the time most of you are listening to this, you can buy it right now for just 99 cents.
What?
99 cents, you can get this. And also, Station Breaker, you never read Station Breaker? Shame on you. But that's 99 cents, too. So I'm just pushing that right out there. Station Breaker and Orbital, the sequel to Station Breaker, Station Breaker 2, available tomorrow. Shipping everywhere in ebook form.
Nice.
Make all of them audiobooks too.
I would like to. I'd like to. So, nothing like holding a giant version of your book
to make you feel small.
I did an entire 2-hour Periscope where I never let go of this.
That's amazing. I believe it.
That is great. That is so good. Hey, real quick, Triple X facts. Did you know that Roger Ebert gave the original Triple X 3.5 out of 4 stars?
You know what?
What a jerk. No,
he also thought that my fake hand stab video was real and called me out on Twitter for it.
Ebert?
Yeah. Ebert linked to my video saying another candidate for the Darwin Awards.
Well, he was right anyways.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Ebert. The
favorite of jerkers.
It's been weird.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.